Jesus Christ told us that before he returns, there are going to be false teachers and there are going to be false prophets. And therefore, there are going to be false gospels. If you turn to Matthew 24, verse 4, please. Matthew 24, verse 4. And verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many." So many will come in his name, saying that he is the Christ, not saying that they are the Christ, but they will come in his name, saying, Jesus saying that I am the Christ. So they're going to preach Christ, and they're going to deceive many. Turn to Matthew 7, please, and verse 15. Matthew 7 and verse 15. And Jesus says, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." So they're going to deceive people. They're going to appear to be humble and genuine, but inwardly they are going to be like ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad fruit bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. So we will know people who are genuine by not just talking the talk, but walking the walk. When we see the fruits of their lives and how they are serving others. But more than that, we need to not be fooled by those who are preaching Christ, but yet they're preaching another gospel. Verse 21, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then Jesus says, 'I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.'" Well, how can this be? These people were so sure that they were preaching Christ, that they were that they knew Christ. But yet Christ is going to say, "I never knew you." That's very sobering. Very, very sobering. Very, very sobering. So these individuals perhaps knew Christ on an intellectual level, and they could read the Bible and go out to try to perhaps make money off the gospel, or to twist the gospel around for their own benefit, or to try to gain somehow. But they didn't know. They didn't know Christ. They didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If we don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, Christ will say, "I never knew you. I never knew you." We have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. So if there's going to be false gospels, it's very important that we understand, well, what is the gospel? What is the gospel? If you turn to Matthew 4, verse 23, please. We have to know what is the gospel or good news before we can determine what are false gospels. Matthew 4, verse 23. "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." So Jesus is preaching the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom of God. And you don't hear that. You don't hear that being preached, do you? You don't hear the kingdom of God being preached, except in the Church of God groups. The kingdom of God, the idea that Jesus Christ is returning, that he's going to establish the kingdom of God on earth, and that we're going to be resurrected, and we're going to be a part of that kingdom, and we're going to live and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And then there's going to be a great white throne judgment and resurrection. And then there'll be the new heavens and the new earth. You don't hear that being preached. Yet that is not all of the good news, but that is the good news that that is important to be included in the good news or the gospel, because that is the main chunk of the gospel. But also, if you go to Mark 1, and verse 1, Mark 1 and verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So, let's not forget, it's about Jesus Christ. It's about his sacrifice for our sins, and our justification, and our redemption, and our being sanctified, set apart. And it's about Jesus Christ living in us, leading us to repentance, and then as we respond to the calling, Jesus Christ living in us, and then as we bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit, remember that's how we will know those who are true disciples of Christ. We know them by their fruit. So the gospel of the kingdom, which is vitally important, but the gospel of the kingdom is doesn't mean anything without Jesus Christ, right? It's the gospel of Jesus Christ and the gospel of the kingdom of God. Kingdom of God. And the main hope that we have is the return of Jesus Christ, which much of this world doesn't know about because it's not preached, and they don't have that hope that Jesus Christ is going to return. If you turn to, let's stay there, Mark 1, verse 14. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So, God leads us to repentance by his goodness. And we're called, and when we respond to the calling, and we have to believe in the gospel. Believe in the good news, in the true gospel, in the true gospel. Go to Ephesians 1 and verse 13, please. Ephesians 1 and verse 13. Paul says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. So as we hear the gospel, we begin to have faith. God gives us faith, and we begin to trust the word of truth. We begin to trust the Bible. God opens up our minds. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. So again, in him, we trusted. In Christ we trusted after we heard the word of truth, after the gospel was preached, and after we heard the truth, and our faith was increased. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the gospel of our salvation, so it's very important that we are following the true gospel, because this will lead to our salvation. And we're also, having believed, once we believe in Jesus Christ, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. The Holy Spirit of promise of being in the kingdom of God and living with Jesus Christ and God the Father forever and ever. And the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. It's in us. It's a down payment. No, it's not a down payment, but it's in us, and we're redeemed, and we have an inheritance. We have an inheritance with Jesus Christ as children of God. We're a purchased possession. We've been redeemed through Jesus Christ to God. And Romans 1 and verse 16, please. Romans 1 and verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul says, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. So everyone is going to have to understand and believe in the gospel, the true gospel. Not only the Jew, which doesn't believe now, at least the majority of them don't do, but also the Greek, and that's the rest of mankind. So everyone has to come to the belief in the gospel of Christ in order to have salvation. It's the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as our faith is growing. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So we have an idea now, and of course in the Church of God groups, we know what the gospel of the kingdom is. We've studied it so much. But there's also a warning that we get. If you turn to Acts 20, please. Acts 20. Acts 20 and verse 29. Acts 20 and verse 29. So there's the true gospel in a generalized. But yet we are warned in Acts 20, verse 29. Paul says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." So he says, after I'm gone, there's going to be false teachers, savage wolves that are going to come in. "Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples." To draw them away after themselves. "Therefore, watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone, night and day with tears." So Paul was warning them for 3 years, night and day, to watch and to be careful about false gospels. You turn to Galatians 1 and verse 6, please. Galatians 1 and verse 6. Here's Paul again to the church at Galatia. "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of God to a different gospel." It was happening at the time the apostles were preaching the true gospel. Here we have a situation in Galatia where Paul is worried. He says, I'm amazed that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of God to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. There are plenty that want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I still pleased men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. And 2 Corinthians, please, in verse 2. 2 Corinthians and verse 2. 2 Corinthians. Sorry, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul speaking to the church in Corinth. "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So who's behind this deception? Satan the devil, who deceives the whole world. He's behind this deception. He doesn't allow even those that God is calling, he's able to, if you remember the parable of the sower, he's able to keep them from responding. The culture of this world, the ways of this world, choke the word. So whose minds the God of this age is blinded, those that cannot see the gospel of God, that don't understand it, or are deceived, their minds have been blinded. Lest the light, once the veil is taken away, that the light of the glory of Christ should shine on them. So we have an adversary who does not want the true gospel preached. Does not want the true gospel preached. So what are some of these false gospels? Now today, of course, we have
our TV cable preachers, who have made a great impact in the last 50 years. And in a Christian revival, has they might say, a revival. But today we have false gospels that take us away from the true focus of the gospel. Remember, anything that takes us away from the focus of the true gospel, of the kingdom of God, that yes, of Jesus Christ, and most of these false gospels do preach Jesus Christ, but they preach about Jesus Christ, and not necessarily obeying Jesus Christ and what he says, but they preach about Jesus Christ. And we're going to look at just briefly three false gospels that are out there today. And the first one is the health and wealth gospel. The health and wealth gospel has been expanded in modern times by Kenneth Hagin, Oral Roberts. Today you'll hear that message with Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar. And basically, it's the idea that there are financial and spiritual blessings is the will of God for Christians. And that faith, if you have positive speech, in other words, you're going to speak it into existence. The idea of the health and wealth gospel is that, for example, if you have a sickness, you say to that sickness, "Be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not sick." And even if you feel those symptoms, even for days or whatever, you keep saying, "In the name of Jesus Christ, by his stripes we are healed. I'm healed." And that will lead to your healing. But also tithing, sowing your seed. There's nothing wrong with tithing, but many of these preachers who are preaching false gospels, but they preach about tithing, and they do so a lot. Sow your seed. Well, they want you to sow your seed to their ministry, So the health and wealth gospel, the idea that you will receive financial and spiritual blessings because that's God's will for Christians. And it's basically you have to by faith and positive speech, and sowing your seed, then you will bring God's promises to fruition. So it's like a personal empowerment. You know, God has promised blessings and curses, right? In Deuteronomy 29:30. So he's promised blessings and curses. So the idea of the health and wealth gospel is that you take those promises of blessings, and that God has, they're yours. All you have to do is claim them. The problem with this is that it puts a stigma on those who are sick, those who are poor. Stigma is, and the idea that maybe they don't have the faith. And it puts too much of an emphasis on being healthy and acquiring wealth. You know, the idea the health and wealth gospel says that you can ask God for anything if you're following his will. You can ask for anything. So if you want that new car, just think about that new car. It's outside in your driveway. You make a description of it, all the features of it, and eventually, God's going to give it to you. But if we go to now, what's wrong with being healthy and wealthy? No, nothing really. But is that God's will for us? And does this take us away from the gospel of the kingdom of God? You turn to James 1 and verse 2, please. James 1 and verse 2. My brother, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So he's telling his fellow Christians that, listen, we're gonna have trials. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. So our faith is going to be tested by all kinds of trials of this world. This is Satan's world, remember. And God allows many things to happen. And knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So trials, people will go through trials. Some might be health trials, some might be We lose our jobs, and we can't pay our bills. And that doesn't mean that we're not being blessed by God. We know that we have to always rely on God, and when these things happen, and we're praying about it, and we're patient, that God will see us through it, and He will bless us. So trials serve a purpose in order to build patience and to build our faith. And it also says that, you know, we will suffer as Christians. As Christians, if you go to 1 Peter 4, 1 Peter 4 and verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verse 12. To whom it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Wow, that's an interesting statement there. We read it again. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you, to those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, let's go to chapter 4, and verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. So in other words, you know, people go through trials. It's a part of life. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. For if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. And on their part he is blasphemed, but on your part he is glorified. Verse 16, yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. For the time has come for judgment to begin in the house of God, and it begins with us first. If it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? And verse 19, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good, as to a faithful creator. So we're going to suffer as Christians. We're going to suffer as Christians. We're going to be persecuted. And throughout history, this has been the case. Those who are Christians, but if we suffer according to the will of God, we will be rewarded, and we will be blessed. We will be blessed. But we are going to suffer. We are going to suffer, particularly as the time comes near the end, and before Christ returns, there's going to be persecution by the beast power of Christians on a massive scale, Now, what about being wealthy? Well, there's nothing wrong with being wealthy. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. Does God want us to be wealthy? 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. We can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. So, godliness with contentment. God's way is for us to be content in what we have. He doesn't want us to be poor. He doesn't want us to need things. But he wants us to be content with what we have. He doesn't want us to be desiring, putting our mind on gaining wealth and riches. He wants us to be content. He doesn't want our focus on riches. He says, "And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." We cannot serve God and mammon. So when our mind is focused on wealth and on riches, it certainly takes us away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, where we're to be content in the state that we're in. Oh yes, we can always pray for things, but according to God's will. And God certainly wants us to prosper, but that doesn't mean that we're going to be wealthy. And to focus on the health and wealth gospel will take us astray. It actually brings us into focusing on the world, right? We're supposed to come out of this world. We're supposed to come out of this world and be content with what we have. But it brings us back into the world that, you know, we want wealth. We want, I mean, these are, God wants us to prosper, doesn't he? And so let's just take some scriptures from the Bible and apply them out of context. Remember Paul's thorn in the flesh? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. He prayed three times to God, and God said to him, "My grace is sufficient." He didn't heal him. So sometimes it's God's will not to heal a person. That's God's will. And we have to be patient and keep praying and have faith. So the health and wealth gospel takes us away from the true gospel, the kingdom of God. Another gospel that takes us away is the once saved, always saved gospel. That's the gospel that says, and this is preached by Creflo Dollar, Joseph Prince, the idea that Jesus has done it all. You don't have to work out your salvation. Once you say a prayer, and you, and I assume you repented, but they don't talk about repentance. Once you say a prayer and you accept Jesus Christ into your heart, that's it. You're saved. And you can never fall away. You don't have to worry about working to not to sin, because Jesus has done it all for you. Jesus did all. He did it all on the cross. You don't have to do anything. Yes, they say, well, you know, the Holy Spirit will lead you. He'll lead you in the right direction and all that. But the idea is that, you know, you don't have to worry. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to work on your salvation. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. This is a very deceptive doctrine, and it really takes us away from the gospel of the kingdom of God. And takes us on to this idea of an immortal soul. We don't have to worry once we accept Jesus Christ. We don't have to do anything. Let's turn to Philippians 2, verse 12, please. Philippians 2, verse 12. "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." So we're to work at our salvation. We're to work at it with fear and trembling, with reverence. Not fear that we're going to go to hell or God's going to strike us down, but with reverence. "For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." Yes, God is working in us. But we have to obey. Remember, we have free will. And of course, as we develop a relationship with Jesus Christ, as we're developing the mind of Jesus Christ and godly character, we're growing in grace and knowledge. But we have, salvation is not guaranteed. You don't have to really worry about it, because if you're falling away, there'll be signs and it's not going to happen overnight. But we have to work out our salvation. We have to work it out. Hebrews 6 and verse 4, please. Hebrews 6 and verse 4. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened
and have tasted the heavenly gift, and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, it's impossible to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open chain. So the ones saved always say, don't believe this. They don't believe that you can fall away. But the Bible tells us that we can fall away. Our mind can be seared. Our mind and conscience can be seared. We could, you know, put one foot back into the world, and then before you know it, after a while, we got both feet back in the world. And so, again, the idea of once saved, always saved is a false gospel. And it gives you a false sense of security. And where is the developing of a godly character? Where is the developing the mind of Jesus Christ? Where is the fruit of the Spirit in all this? Once saved, always saved. Well, I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. And again, there's no preaching of the true gospel, which is the kingdom of the gospel of the kingdom of God. And the third and final false gospel that I wanted to mention, and there are others, is the heaven and hell gospel. And in this gospel, there is no, and this is preached by most of Christianity, there is no kingdom of God on earth. It's not going to be a kingdom of God. Some say Jesus is returning, but I don't understand really what they're saying he's going to do when he returns, or what's going to happen after that. But oh, he's going to bring us, who's ever on the earth, to heaven. I don't know. The heaven and earth doctrine says there is no kingdom of God on the earth. There isn't going to be a kingdom of God on the earth. There isn't going to be a millennium. You know, they believe in the immortal soul, and once you die, you're going to go to heaven or to hell. There's no resurrection. There's no second death. And so this is a very, very dangerous gospel because, again, the majority of Christianity follows this doctrine. And it's the idea that when you die, you're going to go to heaven or to another place. Well, let's face it, most Christians don't think they're going to go to the other place, right? They believe in the heaven and hell doctrine. Most of them say, oh, you know, just be a good person. I define what's good, you know. And, you know, God's a merciful God. I don't have to worry, you know. And so everybody and their loved ones, they're up in heaven, you know. And then the idea that maybe they're up in heaven and they're watching down on us. And, you know, then that brings in a whole new dimension. Well, maybe they're walking around in their apartment. Maybe they're in spirits, you know. But it brings in a whole another false direction. And, you know, it's Satan the devil that has all of these gospels. He's deceived Christianity. But you know, hell, there is no hell as we know. And Satan wants to deceive us because he's going to hell. He is going to hell. He's going to be tormented for day after day when he's thrown into the lake of fire. And he wants us to believe, well, that's going to be our punishment too. We're going to be in this hellfire, and we're going to be tormented, and we're going to be forever and ever by this God. It's not really a loving God, but that's Satan's. That's what's going to happen to Satan. And see how he deceives the world. Let's go to John 3 and verse 13, please. John 3 and verse 13. No one has ascended to heaven, Jesus says, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. That's pretty plain. No one has ascended to heaven, but he who has come down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is heaven. And so, and there were other scriptures also. There's no scriptures that say we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. And the true gospel of the kingdom of God says that Jesus Christ is coming to this earth, that the kingdom is going to be on this earth, and that we're going to rule as priests and kings on the earth for 1,000 years. And eventually, the physical earth is going to be burned up in the heavens, and it's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And if we're going to be in that kingdom, we have to believe in the gospel, the true gospel, which includes Jesus Christ, but not just believing on Jesus Christ, but having a relationship with Jesus Christ, so that we can know the true God, and that we can walk the walk to salvation, not just talk the talk. Not only do we have to have an intellectual understanding, but we have to have our hearts have to be circumcised. Both. We have to believe through our minds, but also our hearts have to be circumcised. We have to believe, and then we have to have Christ's love in us, and his goodness, and his meekness, and all the other attributes of the Holy Spirit. And we have to develop the body of Jesus Christ. Revelation 20, verse 5, please, 15. Revelation 20, verse 15. Let's go to verse 13. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged, each one according to his works. Judge doesn't mean condemned, by the way. Judge doesn't mean condemned. Judge means that they received their evaluation, so to speak, but not, doesn't mean that they're condemned. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. Now this is, because we know people are going to, in the Great White Throne Judgment, are going to be saved. Not all, you know, not all going to be cast into the lake of fire. But the point is, verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So there is no hell. This is the lake of fire. The lake of fire, which is called the second death in other parts of the Bible. It's the second death. It's the final death. So there will be those that are going to be resurrected. And they're going to have an opportunity. They're going to have an opportunity to know Jesus Christ, to know the true gospel. They're going to have an opportunity to know the true gospel. And those that don't accept it are going to be mercifully destroyed in the lake of fire. The lake of fire. They're not going to suffer forever and ever, be tormented forever and ever. They'll have separation from God forever. So, again, this gospel, which is probably the most deceptive of all, the heaven and hell, in terms of the number of people who follow it, the heaven and hell gospel is very deceptive, and it keeps people from the true gospel of the kingdom of God. So beware of the false gospels, the health and wealth gospel, the once saved, always saved, and the heaven and hell gospel, and others. Stay grounded and focused on the gospel of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God.